I'd like to take time this morning just to share a few thoughts from the Word of God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. France is a country of about 62 million people. And just driving around the town to get here yesterday, we saw several churches, several Baptist churches, all kinds of other churches. And believe me, you probably have more Baptist churches in this town than in Paris, the capital of France. There are about 60 to 70 independent Baptist churches in France, and most of them average between 35 and 40 members. The largest church in France is in the Paris area, and they probably have 200 people going through that church. But it's just that right now in France, we need more missionaries. As I said, 23 missionaries have left the field of France. To this day, there are about 40 missionaries in France, Baptist missionaries, and almost half of them are over the age of 60 and considering retirement. That means that within the next 10 years, half of the missionaries will probably be gone. Right now, we know about three other missionaries who are on deputation to try and go to France as well. So it's a very great need that we have right now for the country of France for more servants to come. And as I said, a lot of people look at France and call it the cemetery of missionaries because missionaries, they come and go. They look at it as a very difficult field. Some people, I've heard it from other missionaries, some pastors saying, I would never support a mission to Europe because there are just no results. And when I think of that, I think of this passage in Matthew chapter 13, and we'll start reading at verse 1. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now this passage is very well known. Passage, the parable of the sower, everybody knows this story. Now, growing up in France, I remember that on some of the Bibles that we would give out and the tracts that we would give out, the logo of the company that would publish them was the image of a sower sowing Bibles. In the background, you would see the globe. Now, this passage is talking about what? It's talking about sowing the seeds of the Word of God. Now, it's interesting that as we read further on in this passage at verse 18, Christ giving the explanation of this parable to his disciples, he says, Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that receives seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word in the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now, it's interesting that in the whole explanation that Christ is giving here, he doesn't explain who the sower is. He's explaining, basically, we understand that the seed is the word of God. He explains the different fields that exist, but he doesn't explain who the sower is. And I'm sure that, you know, you could open a commentary. Some commentaries would say, well, Christ is the sower bringing the gospel message. But we could also apply this to Christians, because Christ gave them the mission to go around the world and make disciples, to baptize them, to teach them. We have this responsibility as Christians to sow the seeds of the gospel message. So who is the sower? The sower is basically any one of us who have accepted Christ as our personal Savior, who have repented of our sins. We have that responsibility. Not just missionaries, not just pastors or evangelists or faithful church members. Every one of us. Every one of us have that responsibility. Now, I'm going to ask you probably a stupid question, but what is the job of a sower? What is his job?
To sow.
To sow. Now, the reason I'm putting the emphasis on this is that many missionaries, when they go to the mission field, they go with great hopes of accomplishing great things for the Lord, of seeing great results. And churches that support them send them with the hope of seeing great results as well. We all pray for great results. We want to see great results. But sometimes missionaries, they just, skip one step. They forget that the emphasis is to sow. The one who is a sower is not necessarily the one who is going to harvest as well. It doesn't always happen that way. Several times, probably, when you have witnessed to people, they did not trust Christ as their personal Savior that very same moment. Most likely, they went on to go to another place, and another Christian continued to witness to them, and he brought them to the Lord. You see, one of the discouragements that missionaries have when they go to France is that they go with great hopes, and when they do not see the results, they get discouraged. But sadly, churches as well, when they see very few results, not only they're discouraged, but they think, oh, this missionary is not doing his job, and we're going to stop supporting him. One friend of mine that was a missionary in France, we had seen him a few years ago at a baptismal mission reunion, and it was just amazing for my wife and I to see their enthusiasm, their desire to go back to France as quickly as possible. Not only them, but their kids, teenagers, they wanted to go back to France as quickly as possible. And to see that, well, it was a great encouragement for both my wife and I. A few months later, we got an email from Baptist World Mission, and they announced that they were leaving the field. And I didn't understand why. So finally, I spoke to our director, and he told me, well, they had come back to the States to raise more support, and the opposite just happened. They lost support because some churches, well, didn't see a lot of results in their ministry. And they had been in France, for several years. They were in a village, not a big town, but they were ministering to the people there. Some of them came to know Christ as their personal Savior. Maybe not hundreds, but some of them did. But yet some churches, some Christians saw that as, well, that's not good enough. We forget that the emphasis is on sowing the seeds. And the Apostle Paul understood that very well when he wrote that he's the one who planted, Apollos is the one who watered, and God gave the increase. As missionaries, yes, we want to see results, but our emphasis must be on sowing the seeds first. Now, let's take a look at these different fields that we see here. First, in verse 19, Christ says that when anyone hear the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now, here we're going to have some very specific truths about the mission work. There are all kinds of different fields. Here, the first field that Christ refers to, we see that Satan is actively working against missionaries sowing the seeds, coming and taking away which was sown. And we need to be reminded of that. Like a pastor was sharing about this missionary there in England. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against one evil spirit who is actively working more than any Christians around the world. And we need to be more active and fight back. In verse 20, He says that he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Here we have a group of people who accept the word of God. But sadly, these people, they never grow because they never put their roots deep into the word of God. They never grow spiritually. And when difficult times come, tribulation or persecution or, you know, pressure from the family or friends, they leave. They're gone. We don't see them again. Then in verse 22, he shares, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word in the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Here, people who accept the gospel message, but who are still attached to the principles of this world. We would qualify them as worldly Christians. People who try to live a kind of like a balance, you know, between worldliness and spirituality and holiness. And they become unfruitful because, as Christ said, you cannot serve two masters. And, you know, with the teenagers in France, I would use this illustration for them to understand that you cannot do this. Basically, one Christian who tries to live according to the world and try to be a Christian is the same as a man who is walking on the edge of a cliff. Here you have the safe ground, the word of God, spirituality, holiness. Then you have here the worldliness. Principles of this world based on, you know, selfishness, sensuality, and things like that. And this Christian is trying to live a balanced life in between. And there's a little something, you know, that we've all learned in our science classes, is that there's a natural law called gravity. If you drop something, it is attracted to the ground. In the same way, if you were to walk on the edge of a cliff like this, you would be attracted down because of gravity, and you'd probably be, you know, be afraid of heights and all that, but you would be attracted down. And it's the same thing in a spiritual way. Whenever we try to live this life, we're always attracted down. And so, of course, these Christians are never fruitful. They never grow up. They never bring other people to Christ. So here we have three negative fields, negative results. It's the same seed. It's the same worker. But the results are different. And then finally we get to verse 23, and I'll finish with this. Verse 23, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So finally we get to the good results. But notice something here about the good result as well, is that they're going to be various. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Still the same sower, the same seeds. And even within the good results, they're going to be different. Why am I saying this? Is that, well, one of the dangers that churches, you know, put themselves in, or even, you know, missionaries, is to compare ministries, to compare churches. And seeing, you know, I've been to some very large, big churches here in the States, you know, and you're amazed, you know, of all they've been able to accomplish, you know, for the Lord, and how the Lord has blessed them materially. You know, big churches and everything. But one would be very tempted to try and see this and say, well, this is exactly what I want to do. This is exactly what I want to have in France. And that's where, well, it'll be easy for that missionary to fall, to be discouraged, because, well, that's hardly going to happen in a country like France. Comparing ministries, comparing even missionaries within one country. How come this one is more successful than this one? Again, what is our definition of success? When the Word of God tells us that for one soul that repents, the angels in glory are praising God. for one soul. A variety of results. And so when I look at this passage and I look at the work, you know, that needs to be done in the country of France, you know, I see so many applications here, so many teachings, you know, for the mission work. But one thing is for sure. It is that we need to be faithful in our work, in the mission that God has given to each one of us. We don't necessarily talk about the sword that much in this passage, more about the results and how people react to the Word of God. Now, these results that we have here in this passage, well, we have them in France, we have them here in the States, we have them in Brazil, we have them all around the world. And the good results, we have them everywhere, but not at the same level and the same results that we would see. Again, the key element here is faithfulness. And later on during this service, I'll be talking about faithfulness. But I wanted to share this because each time I look at the country of France and the state that it is now, and you know all the different critics I hear all the time, I'm reminded of this passage. We need to be sowers. And one day we'll see the results. When we're in heaven, we'll see the extent of everything that Christ has been able to do through us. We don't do that much. It's Christ working in us. But we'll be able to see the extent of our prayers, of our financial support, of our witnessing once we're in heaven. But in the meantime, we need to be sowers. That's what we were called to do. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time you've given us to open your word. And Lord, thank you because you, first of all, you gave your life for us, even though we did not deserve it. Not only you gave your life for us, you also called us to be your servants. Again, we are all unworthy of that. And Lord, we thank you because you have a great plan for each one of us. But there is one common plan that you have for all of us, and that is to be witnesses. Lord, I pray that all of us, on a daily basis, are reminded of our mission and to seize the opportunities, the time to witness to people around us, to our neighbors, our families, our friends, our co-workers. Lord, we live in a time that, yes, appears to be very difficult. We see evil forces just winning this world. But Lord, we know that at the end, you're the one who is victorious. We know that that time is coming when you shall come back and take us with you. But Lord, in the meantime, help us to be more active and trying to win more souls. Lord, thank you again for this time that you have given us to open your word. We ask you to bless this day and this time and your word this morning. In your name we pray, amen.